the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. This episode of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is brought to you by ShakePay. It's the easiest way to do the Bitcoin dance in Canada. ShakePay is giving right now $30 for every $100 in if you use our referral code CBP, that's Charlie Beta Peter. On top of that, if you use our referral code, you can also shake your phone in the app every day and have ShakePay give you a little bit of Bitcoin on the house. And of course, they also have a Bitcoin-backed debit card. So add the card to your Apple Wallet or Google Wallet, and you can use that card to spend the money you were going to spend anyway and get a couple of Satoshis back. It's a great way to add to your Bitcoin stack. Again, you can use our promo code. It's in the description, and it is CBP. Friends and enemies, welcome to a special, barely arranged and barely executed, thanks to some link mix-ups on Len and I's part, Canadian Bitcoiners podcast episode with our friend Jordan, CEO of BitBuy, who's probably having what I would guess is a busy day, busy 2 days. We were just talking before we went live about the obviously the effects of the virus that shall not be named. This empty workspace behind him, definitely not a green screen, definitely exactly what the office looks like at the moment. So, buddy, what's going on? Thanks for coming on such short notice.
Hey, guys. So happy to be here. And, you know, it's always a pleasure.
So, Jordan, let's go right at it. There's some recent news that was reported by CoinDesk. Essentially, it was purchased by WonderFi. I'll let you talk a little bit more about it because this is really exciting news, and I'm curious to see how this is going to transpose into what's going to happen with BitBuy moving forward.
Yeah, so let's get right into it. First off, I'll flip it back on. Flip it back to you guys. Had you guys heard of WonderFi before this?
We've reported on them a couple of times on this episode, on the show.
Yeah, you okay. Should though, Jordan, if you can, like, give us a bit of background on the company, because I don't know how many people really know, like, you know, the sort of their Canadian and whatnot might be of interest to the listeners and viewers.
Yeah. So let's assume people already know about BitBuy just to get started here and jump into WonderFi. So WonderFi's stated mission is to democratize finance through creating better access to decentralized finance. So they've built an app. It's going to be fantastic. It's expected to release shortly. They've been working on it for quite some time, and essentially they're going to create a single point of access for DeFi that's super easy to understand. And you know, for a lot of us, when it comes to DeFi products, I know, you know, we can, for those who have tried it, who are listening, I'm sure that they understand that it's somewhat complicated. And so these guys have made a solution that's just going to simplify things and provide a lot of value to the crypto investment community. Their head office is in Vancouver. They have a team of over 20 staff. Their technical teams are very experienced. Many of them have come from Hootsuite. We all know that's a Canadian tech success story. And their executive teams are also very experienced in the capital markets arena. They've raised over $50 million to date. They currently trade on the NEO exchange with some other crypto asset businesses, and they have a market cap of close to $200 million. It's well over 170 last time I checked. So that's the quick and dirty on WonderFi.
So I guess the natural next question is, you know, for people who are using BitBuy right now to buy and sell Bitcoin and the other coins you guys have, Ethereum and a few others, what does it mean for the average sort of end user? This deal yet to close, of course, but for people who are wondering what their experience with BitBuy might look like going forward, what do you have to say to them?
Look, this deal's been announced. It has not closed yet. We all expect it's going to be closing in the coming weeks and months based off of some closing conditions. So for now, it's business as usual. Nothing's going to change for any BitBuy users. And we're going to continue to just drive forward on our mission to provide convenient, secure, trusted, and compliant access for Canadians to access different digital currencies.
Do you anticipate anything is going to be changing in the next little while? Do you expand? Are you going to be expanding?
I hope so, man. We got to keep we got to keep building here. Lots is going to be changing. You know, this year we have some huge plans for BitBuy, and I'm super excited about what it means with regards to this integration. Mm-hmm. And you know, we can talk about, you know, some of the recent updates we've made as well on the show if you guys would like. If you feel that your listeners would be you know, wanting to learn about some of the updates that BitBuy has made recently, because I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, 100%. Go ahead.
Yeah, 100%. We want to hear.
Yeah. So, look, I know this is a Bitcoin podcast, and you guys know how much I love Bitcoin, and you know what a special role it's played in my you know, not just my career but my personal life as well. My personal financial freedom, and you guys know I hold Bitcoin and so forth. But you know. We got to stay competitive, and we got to keep up with what the users are asking for at BitBuy and what the customers are asking for. And so recently BitBuy has added 7 new coins, Polkadot, Dogecoin, Cardano, Matic, Uniswap, SushiSwap, and the recent big runner there with Solana.
Interesting.
So that's just, you know, with the new coins. Go ahead, Len.
I was going to say Doge, like that had a huge run in 2021. And I know that on another exchange, I'll name it Robinhood, that was the primary seller for their cryptocurrency. So I'm wondering if this is going to be a huge seller on your side.
Yeah, look, there's been a ton of interest, and I think that there'll be continued interest in it as we move forward. A lot of people are holding that coin. I wouldn't be surprised if 2022 was another big year for Doge.
Let me ask you, Jordan, there's a lot of people who listen to this show. I know Len and I, you know, we have our own feelings on DeFi and whatnot, but it seems to me that one of the shortcomings in Canadian exchanges, and to be honest with you, I think every exchange I've tried probably has a shortcoming. There's no built-in staking option. And so you're talking about a lot of coins that have staking included in their, you know, quote unquote ecosystem. Mm-hmm. What is the bridge that you guys need to build for users who don't want to do staking on, you know, they don't want to have a BitBuy account to buy and then have to go somewhere else to stake? What is the opportunity there for you guys? And are you thinking about building in some kind of staking system?
We get that question a lot. And I'm not sure if you guys also saw the news, but BitBuy became the first registered crypto marketplace in Canada. So we've been working really closely with the securities regulators here in Ontario to be able to get that over the line. And there's a lot of benefits for customers with regards to that. And just to kind of name a few, and I'll get to kind of answer, this is leading to answer your question here, Joey, but there's tighter controls around operational procedures that have been put in place. There's more policies that have been put in place that protect users' assets, make sure that we've staffed up the proper compliance folks to be managing people's assets, to be operating as that registered financial institution. In this, and in addition to that, we've also have more insurance on the hot wallets as well now. And that was part of the requirement as well. So the insurance thresholds have also been ramped up. So all of these things, like, although it's all happening in the background and customers don't necessarily see it, I think that people are going to sleep easier knowing that BitBuy is a registered crypto marketplace with all of these changes that have been put in place here because of that registration. And so our next step now is to obviously continue to adhere to our registration status and make sure that we're offering products to clients that are also not super high risk, meaning, you know, that you could potentially put your money on BitBuy and lose your life savings. We don't want that. You know, we don't want people blowing their brains out, you know, losing their life savings, things like that. Like that, that's all in the best interest of the users. And look, I get it with, you know, accredited investors, and I see the tweets online about, you know, how it's ridiculous, some of these archaic, rules that have been set up, especially in the US, where you can't invest unless you're accredited and so forth and so forth. And I get all that. So it's about walking a fine line. And so when it comes to staking, definitely on the roadmap for 2022, but in this regulated fashion, playing ball with regulators and delivering that to the end BitBuy customer. And what's really exciting is that WonderFi has already now, you know, embarked on this journey of being able to offer these types of yield products to their customers coming up. So I see a ton of synergies there to be able to get that over the line.
It's got to be opening the doors with this recent registration for maybe traditional finance to get their hands in the game here and using you as perhaps an avenue in order to obtain or purchase certain assets, digital assets. I'm wondering if this is something that may be on the radar for you guys. I don't want to delve too much into this, but I would imagine somewhere along the lines, these traditional finance institutions, maybe even pension plans, might be knocking on your door for some assistance.
I hope so, Len. I hope so. But we'll see what happens. Look, we have a fantastic sales and account management team over here that definitely deals with a handful of different institutions and corporate entities that have several million and tens of millions of dollars on their balance sheet. And we're looking to kind of ramp that up to this or those institutions with the $100 million plus type balance sheets and hopefully billion one day. So I hope that more of those types of businesses and institutions do kind of cross over to the dark side per se and start working with businesses like BitBuy and other businesses in the industry, because I just think it's going to be ultimately a net benefit to everybody.
Yeah, it almost goes without saying, right? I think one of the things that is going kind of underreported, we talk about this a lot in our show, and I think a lot of people look at this metric when it's available to them, but it's pretty obfuscated a lot of the time. In the CoinDesk article, it says you guys have 375,000 registered users. Now, I have two questions for you.
Sure.
Why do you think, what's the best way to put this? Why do you think that number is so underreported? I guess I should be asking you that question, because if you ask me, that's a really positive story that if I was someone at BitBuy or any exchange, to be honest with you, Jordan, I'd be pushing that number out all the time. That's 1% of the Canadian population, give or take. That's a big number. And the other thing I would ask is, what sort of growth? I mean, we talked to you last in September, I think, or October, I forget, but what sort of growth have you seen at BitBuy as far as user regs, if you can? In what's basically been like a sideways and downward chop now for, the last 2 months or so, what are you guys seeing on the user side? Because we're always curious about how many people sort of sign up for these easy to use exchanges. And, I would call you guys an easy to use exchange.
Yep.
And then don't hang around and don't buy anything during these dips and just kind of, leave stuff there, take it off and you never see them again. So what's up on that front?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'd say 2021 was very consistent. Of course, beginning of the year, market's going crazy. We're seeing the surge. We're seeing all these crazy numbers. But, latter half of the year, and especially, towards the end of the year, things picked up for sure. And, 10 plus thousand a month are coming in and signing up and getting registered. And I think people see or reading between the lines here within this asset class, and they're not just buying off of FOMO like they used to be. And there's a lot of smart, educated people who have done their research and see what's happening in this sideways, downwards, choppy market, as you mentioned, and seen it as a great opportunity to make the jump over.
I could tell you nobody's buying from FOMO today, just given what's going on in the markets. Anybody that's buying, they truly know what's going to happen in the future. But really simple question.
Well, I saw a little bit of a pullback just before we jumped on the call.
A little bit. Yeah, just a bit, man. People are probably jumping out the window somewhere, this pullback.
Not quite. There's still lots of growth in the past 12 months. But somebody asked a really simple question. Have you met Mr. Wonderful in person?
Of course. He's amazing.
Is he as wonderful as he truly is? Like
he's unreal. Like he's fantastic. I mean, I grew up watching the show. So, starting off obviously with Dragon's Den and Shark Tank is still one of my favorite shows. So, I feel like the whole company is just so excited to be able to kind of have that endorsement from basically a Canadian business magnet. And it's going to be exciting, all the things we're going to be able to do together.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see what becomes of this. I have to say, there's been a lot of interesting chess pieces moving in the Canadian space over the last 6 months, I think. And one of the best parts of doing this show is that you get to talk to a lot of people who are involved. And, you know, we would include you on that list and some of the other smaller miners that are in Canada, sort of growing little by little and sometimes by leaps and bounds, depending on the week or month. But, you know, I guess, Jordan, my question for you is, when you guys think about what the next year looks like for BitBuy, obviously the acquisition is one piece and the staking is one piece, but, you know, presumably, as you mentioned, as the growth in the space continues, what do you see for BitBuy as far as, you know, user numbers and what might the product look like in a year? I know, for example, we've had, you know, Mario, the director of community at Ledin on many times, and one of the things they're working on now that they didn't view as that important a few years ago is like a quality mobile app, or, you know, other sort of user facing improvements. Now you guys have that already. What are you working on behind the scenes that that you're excited for in the coming year or so?
Yeah, like I think like we've scaled up so quick that now it's like it's like becoming like also about just like doing all the little things right. Like if we keep seeing a support ticket about a little feature, like let's clean that up. Like, so we're going to like really focus on Q1 and just like a bunch of little cleanup things. You know, we're improving the reporting experience. We're driving, we're going to be launching user statements as well, which is fantastic. It's not only, you know, a regulatory requirement, but it's also just a great feature that where people are going to be able to calculate taxes a lot easier. Just improved P&L tracking. We want price notifications, like, you know, like you see what happened just now in the last hour. So, you know, you're getting ping notifications to your phone because maybe you were waiting for that price drop when to you know, sack those stats as you're so good at doing. You know, and obviously we're looking at other, you know, the Ethereum blockchain, it's gotten so expensive, right? So we're looking at other blockchain integrations. You know, other layer two solutions like Matic to be able to like allow people to access DeFi in a more inexpensive manner. And so we have a really robust roadmap in addition to just some of the things I mentioned in terms of just, you know, more coins. Like right now, BitBuy doesn't offer a stable coin. So, you know, USDC is super top priority for us. So, you know, we're going to be doing direct settlement with Circle and making sure to kind of get that set up and make sure that that's inexpensive and quite liquid to the users, like do it right, improve the trading experience. We're definitely pushing to lower our fees this year as well. So the finance team has been working hard at sort of rejigging some of our models to be able to kind of make sure that, you know, we're staying competitive within the market, but still not sacrificing that user experience, that sort of you know, top quality support that we offer, where you get replies back and you can see the reviews within 15 minutes consistently, you know, throughout the day, and a bunch of other coins, you know, just to name a few, like, you know, AVAX, Mana. You're seeing a huge push towards this metaverse and digital real estate, which Joey's just gonna laugh about. Yeah. But
hey, you know, I didn't laugh first. You laugh first there. I was keeping a straight face for your sake.
No, you were smiling. But we're gonna keep listening to our customers and building things that they want. Right, we're lucky enough to have this active user base. You know, over 50,000 users, customers every month coming to BitBuy, trading, holding assets here, several $100 million worth. So we're going to listen to them. And that's, and a lot of things that I just mentioned to you is because we listen to them, and we're going to continue to listen to them, and we're going to survey them, we're going to pull them, and we're going to build things that they want so that customer base continues to use us, is satisfied with the experience, and goes and tells all their other friends, say, hey, oh, you want to buy crypto? Oh yeah, BitBuy is the place to be. A bunch of things like that. By the way, I don't know if you saw Joey, but if you were watching the Leafs game on last Saturday against the Sens, did you catch the commercial?
No. Was it you guys?
Yeah, Smooth Journey. Check it out on YouTube. Smooth Journey Bit Bites.
He's a Habs fan, so he's only watching.
Okay, I don't watch hockey that often, but now that I know, I'll definitely tune in. I can't wait to watch the Leafs play in an empty arena. Remember, but that's neither here nor there.
You remember Charlie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he basically blew out his shoulder by being an extra in the commercial and skating into the guy right behind our lead actor. So check it out, Smooth Journey Bit By on YouTube. It's there.
Charlie's in the chat.
What's he saying?
He's laugh out loud. I put up on the screen. Can you see the screen? He's saying, "Wow, it's true."
He couldn't work. He had to take a week off work. He couldn't type because he couldn't put his shoulder on the keyboard.
Sad state of affairs. You said something there that piqued my interest that I haven't I haven't heard any other exchange talk about this. Mostly because I think probably they can't. I think it's top of mind for some of them, but they probably just don't talk about it much. And it's this Ethereum gas fee stress.
Yeah.
Like, what are you guys doing about that? Like you mentioned there, like looking at other chains.
We've been covering the cost.
That's nuts. That's nuts.
Not the full cost. So like if you look at our BitBuy fees page, like you'll see like they're per transaction, there's about, I think it's like, don't quote me on this, but I think it's I can pull it up right now, but I think it's 0.05 ETH, 0.05 ETH.
That's a minimum withdrawal?
Let me just pull it up.
Sure.
No, the minimum withdrawal for ETH is... exactly. You nailed it. 0.05, and then the withdrawal mining fee is 0.005 ETH, right?
So but one tenth.
But a lot of times the gas fee to send out the coin is higher than 0.005 ETH. So BitBuy will actually cover the difference on that. So that's just kind of like kicking back like a savings to our users, and that's why I think our ETH markets and people and a lot of users have actually figured this out and they know about that. And our ETH is, I think we're the top ETH market. Obviously, don't hold me to that, but from a lot of the data that we've received and that we can kind of look at that's publicly available, BitBuy is the top ETH CAD market globally. And obviously people are withdrawing in and out and doing their DeFi and their NFT stuff.
Can you confirm that globally?
ETH CAD.
Okay. Oh, so got it. Okay. So, CAD, a question I have then, you mentioned that you were looking perhaps at USDC as a potential stable coin you're going to list. With the new regulation you have, are you precluded from using USDT? And also on the same question, XRP, I guess, is that a no-no as well?
Yeah. So if you've been following some of our announcements, we did make the announcement that XRP will be delisted from BitBuy, similar to a bunch of the other venues here in Canada. And, that again, going back to what I was saying earlier in the call, walking that fine line, that was one of the things that we, conceded on when working with the regulators. And same thing applies to USDT, but we had never listed USDT. So listing USDC will be the first stablecoin listing that we will add to BitBuy moving forward.
So I got a question for you then, Jordan, about USDC. There's other providers in the country that offer pretty high interest on USDC holdings. Are you guys considering going that route too?
Yeah, that's definitely something that that we will be looking at, as I mentioned to you, like as we look at sort of the staking conversation and then also the interest bearing assets such as USDC or some of the other ones, like offering that type of interest. That is somewhere we want to get to. So, we appreciate all the customers being patient, the customers that want to do that with us. Obviously there's a lot of different options to do that in the market, but BitBuy will continue to work towards that goal.
A question from Caesar that he asks, is BitBuy ready to compete with Binance? And yes, what are the plans? So I'm guessing his question has to do with potentially maybe margins, leverage trading, etc. And I'm not sure if you follow the saga which happened with Binance for the past little while, but yeah, so they got the boot out of Ontario and they tried to weasel their way in, but it didn't quite work out. So they're still on the outside looking in here.
So what's your take on that, Len?
I think it's probably the right move to make. Obviously, they didn't get the proper approvals to remain in Ontario. And the fact that they jumped the gun and said they did, it kind of leaves a sour taste in my mouth. So it kind of makes
me... I think it's because CZ's Canadian. And so, you know, it's holiday time. He's thinking about home. You know, he's thinking about home. You know, his great childhood here. I think he went to McGill University or something like that. And he's like, oh shit, we're pulling out of my home country. No, let's keep it there. That's my hot take. But in all seriousness, like I saw what you're referring to. You know, the OSC basically said, okay, you guys have to leave Ontario. They told all the users, yeah, we're leaving Ontario. And then I don't know what was going on with the greater picture in Canada, but then they got a FinTrack registration, which is completely separate. And then I think because of that, they said, oh no, we're not leaving. But then there was another email and I don't know. I can't keep up, but,
so is Bitcoin going to fill the pieces here?
Are we ready to compete with them? I think the question is, I think the real question is have we been competing with them, for the past, you know, four years, in Canada, you know, and I think we've been doing our best. And we work really hard, and you know, I'm super proud of all the staff here and the engineering team to build the cool products we have, to launch these new coins, to you know, offer a safe and secure venue for them to trade these coins, and we're just going to keep building and keep being aggressive and making sure that we can do what we can to compete with them. I mean, it's impressive. I'm not going to knock them. It's impressive what they built, this global behemoth, and a lot of their experience, the founders' experience that they had, you know, from the trading world, I think offered them a lot of benefit when it came to scaling it up real quick, being super disruptive and super aggressive on a global scale. So, hats off to them, for everything that they've done. And obviously, you know, now it seems like they're, goal is to obviously play well with regulators. So I think that's great. I think 2022 is going to be another big year for crypto regulation. And mm-hmm. I'm feeling pretty happy that, you know, we've got a head start on that. So whether they, you know, start to work closely with the regulators here in this country will be something that we will all get to witness in 2022. We're here January 5th.
Okay, so last question for you, Jordan. We'll get you out of here. To what I still don't know if it's a green screen or not, because someone walking by like 10 minutes ago in that background there. So I really don't know if that's.
It looks legit.
I honestly have no idea, but it doesn't matter. In the spirit of
it's as real as your Bitcoin, Joey.
that's very meta. In the spirit of the new year and every shitty podcast I've listened to in the last 3 weeks doing bold predictions for 2022, you mentioned there are regulatory changes that you think, you know, it's going to be a big year for regs. I happen to agree with you. I think many people in the space do. Give me one or two or three regulatory, what's the best way to put this? Pending regulatory changes do you think you're going to see in Canada in the next year?
For crypto, of course.
Of course. Or marijuana. I would do crypto. I mean, that's my, you know.
Well, I know house. You want to talk about marijuana, but...
we're talking about the OSC. Couldn't be me.
Look, I mean, we've all read the CSA recommendation paper that came out March 2019, and I think that, you know, they've really pushed hard to get people to come in, apply, get the registration. They've done a great job. You know, the respective regulators, we have six now registered platforms, I believe, five in addition to BitBuy. You know, we made a big push to get that done, and to get that registration and wrap that up last year, and hats off to the team here. Torstein, Michael, like some of the senior executives that came from the traditional financial world and had relationships with those regulators, had worked with them previously, kind of knew the drill, and we got to work closely with them, help them understand this business and get the whole thing over the line. And like I said, it improved the overall business. There's still things that obviously need to roll out from that. And I think that's what we're going to kind of continue to see. So when it comes to certain recommendations around, oh, well, should you go, buy $50,000 of Dogecoin when you make, $80,000 to $100,000 a year, or just like little things like that. Like I think that's what we'll kind of see, like little sort of red, little red flags that will kind of pop up on these different trading platforms when you're kind of doing something that might seem a little bit crazy according to different like risk algorithms that have been implemented. And it's similar, with what happens, in the traditional space as well with different brokerage accounts on across different platforms as well. So I really just think that the controls that are being put in place ultimately will be frustrating to certain people, but at the same time will be beneficial to the greater ecosystem here in Canada of people taking unnecessary risk and doing things that maybe they just shouldn't be doing and being recommended against that. So that's sort of like the first one, sort of just like as these registered platforms, continue to evolve, sort of these recommendations that kind of come in and you'll see that you'll start to feel that in the user experience. And then in addition to that, I think that although, we've done these registrations and these different platforms like CoinSmart and Coinberry and NetCoins have also done them, there will be continued work and continued changes over the next couple of years as we sort of march to this IROC guidance, which for those that don't know, that's the self-regulatory body that governs the securities industry here in Canada, like above the individual regulators and the provincial regulators. So I think that it's sort of like the start. Like, so we're kind of at that apex moment where, yeah, now platforms are getting registered. It's more regulation coming in. It's sort of part of the program, and there will be more and more changes and more work for businesses like ours to comply. And then at the same time, it's going to be harder for some of the smaller guys that maybe didn't scale as fast, didn't necessarily raise as much money, to then make those investments and get that over the line. So you'll maybe see some of those smaller platforms either, sort of give up, walk away, close down, or even, get acquired by some of the larger ones. So I think that will drive more consolidation to the industry.
I'm with you 100% on a couple of things. The fact that 2022 is going to be a huge year for the cryptocurrency industry. There's so many new eyes that are focused on it. It's inevitable that this thing will explode regardless of the price. I just think there's just so many new people that are interested in it and they're going to make the jump into it. And the second thing you mentioned about the smaller players, yeah, I think they're going to get swallowed up or just disappear. I think it's probably a very real possibility, especially in Canada. It just doesn't make sense to have so many of these smaller ones that they don't have the capital to get to the point where they are registered. They won't be able to do it. So it's going to
thin. I'm excited for this year, guys. And I think it's going to be the best year yet for the industry. I still think it's early and we still have a lot to do over here at BitBuy. I'm just getting started, boys. So I'm super pumped and the regulatory stuff, it's kind of just like, let's check those boxes. Let's get that stuff done. And then let's just keep building things that customers want. Really, that's my mentality.
I like it. It's the right attitude. Okay, Jordan Anderson, COO, BitBuy. Thanks for taking some time out. Thanks for responding to our messages both late at night and early in the morning to get this scheduled. And if you have any parting words, now's the time. Hoddle till Lambo. I love it. That's great. Take care, everybody. All
right, Joey, Len, thanks, guys. Keep up the good work, man.
You too, brother. Adios.
Okay. Adios.
Ciao.